I feel like there's some sort of strength or something there.
I mean,
By the way, right before we start this episode, nobody parked on 36th or 35th.
No.
I parked on this street.
Pillsbury. Is this Pillsbury?
This is, yes.
I parked right out there.
Okay, yeah, because I set up an alarm for myself for the snow emergency that just officially went into effect, where anyone parking on a snow emergency street would get towed. Or at least a $42 ticket, which I have one sitting somewhere in my kitchen.
Those tickets are the worst.
Actually, snow emergency parking tickets are the only tickets that I've ever received.
That's not a ticket. It doesn't count.
No, I have pieces of paper with my car information on it. I have one framed in my bedroom because it's the first ticket I ever had.
Oh, nice.
Very so
nice.
I really had to dig deep on that one. I got one within the last week or so as my follow-up, but I've also gone to the pound to help somebody pick up a car. So I know the actual punishment involved.
Oh, and you don't want to get your car towed. No. That is expensive.
No.
It's terrible. Yeah.
But jumping off of that aggressively, this would be a great time for us to start episode 113 of the Buffering Podcast. So Dave, Jake, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
thanks for joining us. Yeah. And so just to distinguish voices, Dave, hello.
Hello.
And Jake, hello.
Hello.
All right.
Now I'm going to change my voice like midway through.
Yeah, we have helium tucked away under the couch, just in case, so we can alter who is who in this episode.
Oh, wait, Jake, speak one more time.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Okay, so Jake, now you just need to like really grow a beard so we can hear that.
Been trying. this is quite a while without shaving.
Yes, Adam, you're clearing your throat. We know you're on the same track.
Yeah.
Though I noticed you gave up.
I was growing it out over the holidays and didn't really get all that far. Like, I've got some mustache stuff going on and my chin, but nothing on the cheeks. Yeah.
I mean, like Jack Sparrow-ish, at least?
No. Not even. Literally nothing on my cheeks
at all. We're both on the same page. We both save a lot of money on shaving.
That's true.
Mm, yeah.
That's true. Jake.
Ah.
Hi.
So for this episode, we have a little news. Nothing aggressive, but Netflix has picked up a series to produce as an original series, much like House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, all those things, that is going to be focused around explorer Marco Polo. And it is described by The Verge as having elements of action, adventure, politics, and war. It has the writer from Hidalgo, which I don't know if anyone saw it, but I know it.
Yeah, I know it. I've never seen it
when it came out, but that was a while ago.
Yeah, did I.
Didn't that have Viggo Mortensen in it?
Yeah, probably.
And a horse. And also a horse named Hidalgo. Okay.
Yep.
It was pretty exciting.
And it will have
not that good overall.
It will have a director. A number of the episodes will be directed by somebody who has also directed on Game of Thrones. So optimistically, there'll be a nice perspective to go with it. Yeah. But I'm not seeing a lot of fun information about it. It's just, you know, something that's planned to be produced. And that's actually what I thought of first. Producer Katie just yelled out Marco to the game Marco Polo of something that.
The entire series takes place in a pool.
Every episode begins with Marco, and then during the credits, right at the end, Polo.
See, I was thinking every episode could start with a game of Marco Polo. Like, they're in the grocery store. They're at...
Marco Polo in the grocery store, as he did.
Yeah. I'm just like the game itself.
No, we're thinking of a much better TV show now.
Or just...
No.
I want. Okay, here's my vision for the opening shot of this show.
Yeah.
So it's at about mid distance away. There's a boat on the sea, and it's just quiet. You're just hearing the waves and the wind for a while, and then you just hear someone go, Marco, and then you're just like, what do you want?
Okay. So yes. It's the weeds on a boat. Where there's the humor intact with some sort of serious drama.
You're expecting Polo, but you actually get Marco Polo.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
See, I had mine of people who are a theatrical renaissance or that arena reenactors. in a grocery store playing Marco Polo, just because the main character, Marco, his character out at wherever they are is not named Marco, but his name is Marco. And so it just turned into the way of finding this guy. So the first one, they are in appropriate dress in Now in Times, but each episode thereafter would start out a very similar way where somebody would yell out Marco, but it wouldn't necessarily be Marco Polo, but it would be in that vein.
Mm. I actually think this show sounds like it could be kind very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Mine was shot a la USA Network. Okay. Like, if you can picture how all of their shows are shot, it'd be that kind of psych suits kind of very intimate distance kind of back and forth shots.
I'm actually very interested with how they're actually going to structure the show, because I watched another show that was, I believe it still is, also available on Netflix streaming. That was Borgia. If you saw that, it was about the
Borgias.
The Borgia family.
Borgia. I'm an ugly American, so I pronounce it wrong.
If you watch the show, they will pronounce it for you.
It helps.
And that is. I mean, that's a very, very interesting period in history and a very influential family in a bunch of different realms, but it ended up feeling like it devolved into a soap opera, and it didn't really focus on a lot of the goings-on that were very important during that time.
Is more the person-to-person versus the family versus everything that's going on around them.
I'd really like, you know, because Marco Polo has so many different interesting settings that he goes through.
Right.
I'd really like it to at least have some sort of historical tidbits that you can pick up that, you know, for people that don't know Marco Polo very well, they can actually learn a little bit. I really like that more than just kind of a, you know, a entertainment solely.
Right. It's more so they take the structure of the soap opera network and they just transplant it to Martin Luther King Jr.
What I'm hoping
here's
for
behind the scenes, but it's really just more so like petty bitching while really cool stuff's going on.
What I'm really hoping for is a show that that is very entertaining, that you would expect to be on like the History Channel when you hear it's called the History Channel, where it's a show that's entertaining but has history.
To their
which
plan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If the History Channel made shows that you thought they would make,
right.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a topic of conversation at work for me, is I will have coworkers come up to me and be like, by the way, I was watching the History Channel last night, and lo and behold, they showed history.
Right?
And like somebody comes up to that as a revelation of, oh my God, that's actually happening again.
Yeah, it's that expectation that I hope when they hear, like, we're making a show about Marco Polo, I really want there to be history in it. Because it's historical. It's set in that historical setting. And it was very important to the development of the world at that time. And I'd like them to focus on that more than, like, you know, Marco Polo gets lonely on the road and needs to find some courtesans or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Do we have cast information for this?
No, nothing that I've seen yet. It's more so production side. So I think it's something that they've just recently picked up. And then in turn, they have a little bit of structure in terms of they have people signed on. Yes, I will direct this episode. And they have a number of producers. But there's not much other than the fact that the Weinstein Company is producing a new series that is consisting of about 9 episodes. So
Is there any sort of release date yet? This is just the initial press release?
This is really just the, hey, this is going to happen now.
Okay.
So it's really coming off of CES. Netflix wanted to have something fun to throw out there, other than the fact that right now all of their future content, including Game of Cards Season 2 and a number
House of Thrones.
No, they're going to have a reality show. Throne of Cards. So House of Cards Season 2 will be shot in Ultra HD, which is basically 4K HD that is now being popularized. And recently at CES, I think it was either The Verge or Wired, one of the two, named Netflix as the winner of CES because they're producing all this new content in this advanced high def system.
So with this new ultra high def, how many TVs currently can play such a high def?
No, it's actually popularized to the point where when 720 and 1080 were released, mm-hmm. we are a couple months into the introduction of the sales of those TVs. Those TVs are available at this point. I would say they are akin to what 720 and 1080 were when they first came out. They're in the 8-9 grand echelon for like... Not off-brand, I guess would be the right word to call it. You're not going to get a Sony unless it's like a small Sony at 4K at a good size for a good price. It's still going to be in the, 15 to 2000.
It's still a very recent consumer availability.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's, since Blu-ray is still kind of, I wouldn't say trumping in terms of produce content. Obviously, there's going to have to be a step above that when movies come out to match the TVs that they're going to, and you'll have to get new, whatever player and all of that. So it's all going to compound on top of itself. But at the same time, Netflix is following with streaming direct to you content where you only have to, if you have a new TV, it'll look really nice. If you have, my TV, which is a Dell. When Dell made TVs way back when that still weighed about 100 pounds, it'll look pretty good, kind of like how if you're using a standard def TV, using an HD box or something, it looked nice, but is still within the boundaries of whatever you could offer. But I haven't heard a number in terms of pixelation at this point, other than the fact that it's 4K, which is supposed to be 4x1080.
And is it just video upgrade or is it audio too? Because I know Blu-ray had an upgrade for audio as
Blue
well.
Blue something.
Blue's things.
Clues. Yeah,
Blue's Clues.
Blue's Clues.
Had
Blue's
great,
Clues sound.
That had great audio, Blue's Clues.
Yes, yes it did.
Well, I would assume that the standard would probably be like a 7.1 surround.
Well, I think
system.
5.
And they,
is,
maybe
5.1 I think is still the standard.
Yeah, but I mean, the 5.1 is pretty typical of home theaters, but there are a lot of movie theaters are way higher than that.
Yeah,
true, but you want to have something where people will, the advancement of sound systems versus like video quality is kind of this weird. Most of the time you'd buy a Blu-ray player and you could get the stereo system intact with it, so you'd already get minimum 5.1. But I wonder how many people would actually upgrade to 7.1 for pure audio quality purity.
Possible.
For movie viewing versus music. Because I think music would have the more purist following, but movies might be more like, I want to see a better picture versus better sound.
I mean, there's that quality of it where it's number of speakers involved.
Right.
But then the bit rate, I would assume, would be going up too.
True.
So, going from the standard that we're used to of like 128 for your average MP3, I would assume that it would be that much higher. 256,
680.
Yeah.
Well, what I think is very nice about Netflix now offering that is that if you do spring for this type of a new technology TV right at the beginning when the price point is still the introductory price,
right,
you can get that media right away. You don't have to get all the peripherals that go with it in order to see how great your TV can be. And I think that's really cool. I think that's that kind of jump that's starting to become making streaming way more of a viable first kind of technology adapter.
Right. They can hit the curve earlier because they can, for a lot of the technology, for Blu-ray, every movie could technically be released in Blu-ray, but it's the fact that you have to go back to that original reel to reel and then producer it to that video quality. So, the time is involved with that, and not every movie is going to do that, but every, production company, every studio that really saw, yes, there will be value in this, went back and did produce a lot of things, even things where I personally believe that Blu-rays and comedies don't get along, because I don't need to see 1080 Adam Sandler, mm-hmm. or no. Rob Schneider or anything like that. It's if I want to get 1080 of something, I want to get explosions, I want to get car chases, I want to get action where there's a lot of motion, where detail is really more valuable. And if digital production, even if it goes from an existing movie going, allowing for a digital version to be released from, you know, standard def into HD, into 4K, into its predecessor, whatever it will be, for some movies there is that value where if you go back and watch a 90s or earlier TV show on from standard def translated to HD, you do lose picture quality. It looks kind of crappy.
Yeah.
At this point, it looks kind of outdated, where I would be willing to pay an extra couple bucks to get the HD version of that, though no one has taken the time to produce that.
Or, well, just similarly to what you were saying, I was just thinking about trying to plug like a Nintendo 64 into a high-def TV.
Oh,
it looks terrible.
Oh, it's so bad.
And it's so sad.
I mean, it's happening with the 3DS for a number of products, which I know you have Ocarina at this point.
Yep. It's fantastic.
And I know the on the Wii U, they just released a updated graphics version of Wind Waker as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen about that.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But looks really nice. Realistically, the big thing I want is for an adapter from a Nintendo 64 to an HD TV to slow down the frame rate to what I'm comfortable to. Because I've noticed transitioning from, you know, tube TV to HD TV, that when you plug a Nintendo 64 into an HD TV, the frame rate is increased based on the TV's ability to process things faster. So gameplay is faster to a level that actually makes games that were easy more challenging and therefore not fun anymore.
Great.
So all the hard games are harder now.
No, it's not. Easy games are harder now, where if I want to waste some time playing some Mario Kart 64, easy is tougher than I want it to be if I just want to kill some time and some brain cells.
Hear ya. Yeah.
You got to drink some coffee or caffeinated soda before you can
basically
compete at the
same level.
I need
to take
level.
Some Ritalin or before. Something like that to just like beeline me into being ready to take a test.
To catch up to your
Rainbow
TV.
Road
yes,
now.
Yes, yeah, because better. Now it is too ready for me. TV has gotten smarter than me, and I'm not okay with it.
Yeah, you're never going to make that Rainbow Road jump anymore.
No.
Too small of a window. Mm-hmm.
But the other news story, before we run out of time for this, is this is actually going to be a quiz. Did you use Winamp?
Briefly.
Did you use Winamp?
I did, yes.
Did
never.
You? Never. Okay, so you're out of this fight a little bit, because Winamp died, so no loss to you, but YouTube briefly and used it.
Oh, no.
So it died, and it's already been resurrected. Technically, it never officially died, because
it just took a hiatus. Siesta.
It took a holiday for a while. It was owned by AOL, but then with iTunes being as popular as it is, and Windows trying to create its own, or Microsoft creating its own vehicle for that, Winamp kind of faded into the background. Realistically, Jake, for you, Winamp was just another audio player, but they had emphasized a lot of customization that could, you know, put faceplates on your player that, hey, look, now you have the Fast and Furious 2 characters on your player. But they also had a really nice, sensitive equalization system where you could really kind of hone it into your system if you knew what you were doing, or they had really finely tuned presets. Mm-hmm. So if you really wanted to listen to a lot of arena rock, you wouldn't get as much distortion as somebody who's just listening to it on CD.
Right.
So you could tune things very well. But it is back, and it is creating a new media player called Radionomy.
Radionomy?
it doesn't have the little dictionary definition here, so I'm kind of stuck. But so it's going to have more than 600,000 internet radio stations, 60 audio and video formats, 6,000 add-ons, skins, plugins. So it'll be a lot like Winamp from way back when, but with more streaming capabilities to attract the modern crowd. And I was thinking about it for a second where I remember when I got to college, I was hardcore into Winamp for some reason. I don't know why. I just remember that was my primary go-to thing. And somehow in college, I made the transition to iTunes and the iTunes store, and I bought all this random crap, and now it still hangs with me like Angry Beavers Volumes 1 and 2. Doug, Volumes 1 through 4. Just like a number of things. Like, I got into college and I immediately like forgot my childhood and had to remember it instantly and was able to put a price tag on what I wanted to throw at it. So I had no real tangent to go with this, but I wasn't sure if anyone else wanted to reminisce on Winamp in any capacity or...
I had used Winamp for a while, and I mean, I remember the equalization and the, you know, you could change it, how it looked and everything, but really I used it because that's what was on my computer. I mean, I didn't choose it specifically.
It was there.
Over other options. I think it did a great job. But like you said, I'd also transitioned into iTunes, and I think it was because of ease of use.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, realistically, I went from a PC to a Mac. So... that was, you know, Winamp just wasn't there.
Yeah. I mean, I went from CD player to iPod, so my transition may have been just hardware-based as well, but blocking it out of fear of consumerism or something.
Yeah. When I say briefly, I mean, I probably installed it, played a few tracks, and then never used it again. So I can't really speak to that.
So. It's like, I'm going to be a sheep. Oh, wait, no. And then... So what was your alternative at the time?
Windows Media Player.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember transitioning from that to iTunes in college as well. Yeah, gotta love those visualizations back in the day.
And trying, like, playing around with whatever the cluster of alternatives would be in terms of buttons, but you don't know actually what the buttons do, but you saw the little display that's like, oh, red fire, though that could be either the color display or the way that the colors are displayed, or it could be the transitions from one, you know, display to another.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone else got that hardcore. I bumped my keyboard. I learned that you could actually change the visualizations with the buttons, but I never grasped what each button technically did because I couldn't tell what the transition actually was. Hmm. Something happened, an element changed, but I didn't know if it was color basis. Shush. Thank you. If it was a color change or a structural change, or if it was more of an adaptation to the structure from a visual standpoint. So weird levels for random button pushes. Go iTunes. It still works today. If you really hit like the kind of M, N, B, K, J, L cluster, things will happen. So go iTunes.
Interesting.
But my alarm was going off saying that we need to wrap this up so we can transition into commercials and then from there into whatever game we're going to play tonight. So we will do so and we will be back with some sort of game.
Woohoo! Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hey guys, this is Dan Whalen. Thank you for listening to the Buffering Podcast episode 113, which Adam and I taped on January 14th, 2014 in the Wheels Brewing Co. studio in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And of course, right before we started taping, I really thought it was episode 114, so we'd have 114 on 114-14, but it didn't really pan out. But yes, thank you for listening. You heard the conversation with Jake Pullis and Dave Kavam, and it was great to have them on. And we had so many bonus tracks that we taped with them. And you can find all of those on BufferingPodcast.com. So we'll jump into some plugs before we get to movie bluff a bit here, but bufferingpodcast.com, that's right. There you can find bonus tracks of all everything that we tape outside of the show. Also, a complete archive of all of our episodes, plus photos of our guests and articles that Adam and I are writing. So again, bufferingpodcast.com for all of your buffering needs. Also, you can find the Buffering Podcast on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/bufferingpodcast, and Twitter, it's @BufferPodcast. For both those, you'll get updates about the show, the website, upcoming guests, fun stuff like that, so that's easy to find if you go on Facebook or Twitter to find us. And you can also find the Buffering Podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher Smart Radio. On iTunes, just search for Buffering or my name or Adam's name or any of our guests' names, past or present. And then for Stitcher, go to Stitcher.com, or you can download the Stitcher Smart Radio app for your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and beyond. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. So that's everything that we had to plug. So again, thank you for listening to episode 113, and enjoy Movie Bluff.
Let's see. So there's the one and a noise for calling shenanigans.
The organ trail.
Buzz in. I'm going to keep you at 4 seconds for now, but we'll see what happens, Adam. But we will, now that we're actually playing the game for the show, we will review everyone's buzz-in. So, Adam, your buzz-in is...
Cats.
Dave. Jake.
Zap.
There we go. Okay. So, we will start with something that was vaguely and ever so slowly discussed during this show. I will say Kevin Spacey movie.
Cats.
Adam.
The Usual Suspects.
Cast.
Cats.
Adam.
Gabriel Byrne.
Wow.
There's somewhere I really want to go with this. So
all right,
please.
Go ahead.
Please.
I'm... movie, fine. That's where you want to go with this. 1, 2,
Cats.
3.
Cats. 4.
Go, whatever.
Shipwrecked.
That's where you want to go with this?
Yes, it is.
Why are you wasting our time? I thought this was actually going to go somewhere.
It's a great movie with Norwegian actors and Gabriel Byrne, and it was a very awesome part of my childhood about pirates. So
I'll say movie. Gabriel Byrne, you bastard.
Good luck.
I thought you were going to go somewhere with this.
Cats.
Go ahead.
I am going somewhere with this. Miller's Crossing.
Movie. Gabriel Byrne.
He wasn't in anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't want this to go on any further.
That. Yeah.
This had to die sooner than
that
later.
That was it. But those are some pretty awesome movies that he was
so,
in.
So instead, right, I'm going to say right. Christopher Lloyd movie.
Ooh.
Dave.
Back to the Future.
Cast. Dave.
Michael J. Fox.
Movie. Go ahead.
Teen Wolf.
Movie.
Zap. Spin Jake. City.
Cast.
I don't know.
Dave, I'll give it to you.
If we're talking about the TV show, Kathy Griffin, right? You said Spin City. Or no, that was totally wrong. This game is making me flustered. No, so it ended 5 seconds.
Yeah. I was going to say, you were at 6 seconds. I was just like, if you have something.
I sure don't.
No. Because, I can't think of his name now. Winning.
Oh. Robert Downey Jr.
No.
No.
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen. Robert Downey Jr. He had his own troubles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of which involved Tiger Blood.
Charlie Sheen was the, Michael J. Fox's replacement on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
side note.
Yes.
Robert Downey Jr. is an excellent singer.
Yes.
Yes.
There was a video floating around of him singing a song with Sting.
Yep.
That was pretty awesome.
Yep.
Really awesome.
Is Sting playing a lute?
A guitar.
I hope so. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll take it.
So in that vein, but not at all, I will say Zoolander cast. Dave.
Owen Wilson.
Cast.
Cats.
Adam.
Ben Stiller.
Cast.
Cats.
Go ahead.
David Bowie.
Movie. Dave.
Labyrinth.
Nice.
Cast.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Jennifer Connelly. Better.
Movie.
Cats.
Go ahead.
I'm so pleased I get to say this. The Rocketeer.
Nice. Movie.
Oh, she's been in more things recently, but I can't think of them at all.
That's five.
I couldn't even remember her name, so I won't know any movies.
Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anyone... I remember seeing that once by myself and then like not doing anything for 3 hours and feeling awful.
Yeah.
And just really kind of wiped everybody that was in that movie out of my mind. So.
Yeah. Except for Damon Wayans.
He was in that? No, I totally forgot about him.
Yeah, he was the black friend.
Nope. Lost it. Scrubbed it from my memory.
Jared Leto.
I remember that guy.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Though he just won a Golden Globe for his performance in Dallas Buyers Club. So what we will do is reach off of that branch and say, Matthew McConaughey movie. And that, I'll give it to you.
Was he in Marley and Me? Or Marley, what was that movie with the dog? Was that Marley and Me?
Yeah.
Marley and Me.
Cast. Go ahead.
Is that Jennifer Aniston?
Movie. Or TV show.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Friends.
Cast.
Zap. David Go ahead, Jake. Schwimmer.
Cast.
Zap.
Jake.
Matt LeBlanc.
Cast.
Zap.
Go ahead.
Matthew Perry.
Movie. Or TV show.
Zap.
Go ahead.
17 again.
Cast.
Zap.
Go ahead.
Zac Efron.
Nice.
Movie.
Zap.
Go ahead.
High School Musical.
Cast.
The movie. Zap.
Go ahead.
Corbin Blue.
Cast. Whoa.
Zap.
Go ahead.
Vanessa Hudgens.
Movie. That's five. No one said Spring Breakers.
I'm just gonna say that was a wonderful rabbit hole we all fell down.
Yeah.
I thought I was like, my god, that's right. That's him.
Yep. And just realizing, yes, Zac
Efron
also
is
that.
Matthew Perry.
Of course he is.
Oh man, I'm curious about what our points are so far.
Yes, yes, Katie, producer Katie, let us know what's going on here.
Thanks for letting me get three High School Musical actors.
For the shame. I was hoping he would say movie after you said, what's his face?
Corbin Blue.
Corbin Blue.
Well, there's that jump rope movie that he was in, but I don't remember what it's called.
Jump rope movie?
Oh, he's in a jump rope
about
movie.
Like competitive jump roping. Yeah. Really?
It's called Jump In.
Yeah. Okay.
He's also on an episode of Phineas and Ferb. Yeah. I was in that
what?
Always.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that strange little thing happened, Dave is currently in third place with 7 points.
Yeah.
And Jake and Adam are tied for first place with 9 points. Thank you, High School Musical.
This is a close game.
Yeah.
After one.
I didn't think I was that far behind. Last place is at zero or negative, so.
Hey. I'm not awful.
There you go. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I'm so glad you didn't say movie after I said David Schwimmer, because.
Because what?
Because I wanted to go somewhere with the game, too. I didn't want to kill it.
Yeah.
He's been in a thing.
He was in an episode
it's not good enough for points.
Come Fly With Me.
I believe
it. Have you seen that? It was pretty great. They detained him because he had like all sorts of illegal porn in his luggage, and then he was trying to blame it on Matt LeBlanc.
Nice. Huh.
I think he was in a movie where he was like, did something with museums or something like that. Hmm. but maybe that was just another episode of Friends.
Well, he worked at a museum in Friends.
Okay, yeah. Then, I don't know.
So, I'm trying to come up with something tangentially off of all of this, but nothing's really coming to mind, so I will just instead say Selma Hayek movie. Dave.
Savages.
Movie. Dave.
Dusk Till Dawn.
Cast. Dave.
George Clooney.
Cast. Go ahead.
Quentin Tarantino.
Movie.
Cats.
Dave.
Oh.
Reservoir Dogs.
Cast.
Cats.
That was Adam this time.
Steve Buscemi.
That's what I was going to go with.
Cast.
Oh, what's his name? Oh, what? Oh!
That was five.
Oh, Michael something.
Clark Duncan.
Harvey Keitel.
I know it's not him.
Not quite. But the one, your mom, the one who cuts off the guy's ear, who was also in Kill Bill.
Were you just thinking of Bob's Burgers?
I was. I was thinking of that scene. Okay, one Wet Willie. That was amazing.
Ah, Bob's Burgers.
The best scene in that entire show.
So we'll kind of stick to this vein a little bit, and I'll say Inglourious Bastards cast. Dave.
Brad Pitt.
Movie.
Cats.
Adam.
Ocean's 11.
Movie.
Magic. Cats.
Adam.
World War Z.
Movie.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Meet Joe Black.
Movie. Dave.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Cast. Dave.
Angelina Jolie.
Movie. Dave.
Tomb Raider.
Movie.
Zap.
Jake.
Salt.
Movie.
Cats.
Adam.
Gone in 60 Seconds. With Cast. The blonde dreads.
That's right.
Dave.
The greatest actor of all time, Nicolas Cage.
Movie.
Zap.
Jake.
National Treasure.
Yes.
Movie.
Zap.
Jake.
City of Angels.
Cast.
Cats, and I only know this from the Goo Goo Dolls video. Meg Ryan.
Movie. Dave.
You've Got Mail.
Movie.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Joe versus the Volcano.
Nice. Cast.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Tom Hanks.
Movie. Dave.
Forrest Gump.
Movie. Dave.
Castaway.
Movie. Go ahead.
Big.
Movie.
Cats.
Adam.
Toy Story.
Cast.
Nice. Very nice.
Dave.
Tim Allen.
Cast.
Oh, man. Some.
John Ratzenberger.
There's that one.
That's the bridge we were looking for.
Yeah. I was going to go to Cheers from there. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of Ernest's name, who played Slinky.
Oh.
What is his name?
I actually have a bridge because he was also in Atlantis, The Last Empire, which is on Netflix now.
Oh, there you go.
Which would link us back to Michael J. Fox. Oh, what is his name? That's going to bug me now. Because he was the cook hand on there, that movie. That's good.
I think he was also in several movies that were titled Ernest Goes
To.
Does something that relatively
does something relevant.
Most people can relate to.
Ernest Scared Stupid. is the only movie I've ever been genuinely scared of. That little troll that lives in the trees was the worst thing of my childhood.
I've never seen that movie, but Katie will let us know what the score is right now.
In third place with 12 points is Jake.
Yay.
In second place with 18, or no, sorry.
Move the mic over a little.
18 points is Adam. And our leader with 22 points is Dave.
That's silly and not
that
true.
Effectively removes Adam's handicap.
Yeah, take that off.
2 seconds.
2 seconds. All right.
2 seconds.
I can work with that.
We'll half it.
It's the only reason I'm winning.
So instead, we will go with somebody.
Titanic.
Somebody? George Clooney movie. Dave.
The American.
Movie.
Zap.
Jake.
The Descendants.
Cast.
The guy from In the Bill.
Five. That's five. Beau Bridges. Beau Bridges.
I was trying
and
to think of the
you.
Name of that Secret Life girl.
Yeah.
Her. Oh, Shawnee some.
Yeah. The guy who looks like the kid that played Beans.
That wouldn't have got you points.
The hippie kid.
Wouldn't have got you points.
Okay, so instead, we will go with Matt Damon. Movie. Dave.
The Bourne Identity.
Movie.
Cats.
Adam.
Ocean's 12.
Movie.
Cats.
Adam.
The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Movie.
Oh, God. He's got to be.
Dave.
Was he Benjamin Button?
Is
movie. That your official answer?
Yeah. Well, that not Benjamin Button.
Hoo-na-na.
Yeah.
It's Brad Pitt.
It was yes. Brad Pitt.
I knew it when I asked it. Oh, shoot.
So, a negative point in exchange. So instead we will start with, Gladiator cast.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Russell Crowe.
Movie. Dave.
Les Miserables.
Cast. Dave.
Anne Hathaway.
Movie.
Cats.
Adam.
The Princess Diaries.
Movie.
Cats.
Adam.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Cast.
Cats.
Adam by hair.
Christian Bale.
Movie.
Cats.
Adam.
American Psycho.
Movie.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Gattaca.
Movie.
Cats.
Yep.
Equilibrium.
Movie.
Cats.
Go ahead.
It's been long enough. Batman Begins.
Cast.
Cats.
Yep.
Liam Neeson.
Movie.
Taken. Dave.
Movie.
Zap.
Jake.
The Phantom Menace.
Nice.
We Cast. All know. Yeah.
Zap.
Cats.
Jake.
Ewan McGregor.
Sweet.
Movie.
Zap.
Jake.
Salmon fishing in the Yemen.
Movie. Dave.
Trainspotting.
Movie.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Big Fish.
Movie.
Cats.
Go ahead.
Long Way Down.
Movie. That's five.
I like how you... Oh my gosh! Moulin Rouge.
Oh my God! Yeah. The Island.
I don't know that one.
So, Katie, what are these scores?
Yeah.
All right. Presently, in third place, we have Jake with 16 points.
More into the mic, please.
No, never. Okay. In second place, we have Dave with 30 points.
All right.
Handicap showing.
And in first place, we have Adam with 32 points.
Catching up.
And actually, this is a good time for us to wrap up. So,
oh
yeah, it's already come upon us.
Okay.
So, Jake, I well,
ruined my career, Dan Whelan.
Sorry. So, Jake, if you have anything going on Friday or thereafter that you want people to know about, things that you're going to or you're involved in, anything like that.
Well, I'm still trying to get an article that I wrote published, so I don't have any idea what journal it'll be on, so I won't plug that, and that was all that I would have done. But thanks.
See, but all of that teaser, no, yeah, I want to know.
I have co-authored a study of the institutional constraints on labor and delivery nurses, and it is a page-turner, but it is unpublished as of now.
As of now, as of but... Now.
A baby's born at the end of the article.
I'd like born every other page, which is why you keep turning.
It's the best choose-your-own-adventure story I've ever read.
Yeah. The miracle of life. The miracle of life.
Fire and pregnancy, I don't think it would mix.
In my trousers?
So, Dave,
it's an old saying from
or
Sweden.
Nigeria.
Norway is the best.
Jake, anything to plug social media wise?
Oh,
Tumblr.
Yeah,
not soccer book, essentially.
Yeah, I'm not really big on social media right now. I would say for streaming media, if you have a Netflix account. I have just done my binge of the original series of Star Trek, and if you like really, you know, interesting acting and very also interesting digital remastery, the special effects are pretty cool. They look like they could have been made in 1995 now.
Nice.
Perspective.
Sorry, which show again?
The original series, Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some shots. Anytime there's a shot of like just a ship but no people, or like just a shuttle in a hangar bay, it's entirely CGI, but it's not very good.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
At least there's a standard.
Yeah,
that's all I care about. Dave, how about you? Friday or thereafter, when people hear this episode, things that you are attending that you want people to know about, or things that you're involved in, advertisements?
No, I'm not very, very busy going out, and mostly what I do keeps me in. So this weekend, I don't really have anything phenomenal going on, other than I have a weekly D&D game. So that will be my one shining moment of the weekend.
Awesome. There you go. Yeah. Well, you can plug the shop if you want to.
Oh, yes. I mean, I will be also working at the shop I work at, which is a tattoo shop called Seawolf Tattoo Company, 35th and Cedar in Minneapolis. And if you'd like, we do have an Instagram, so you can follow us at Seawolf Tattoo Company, which is one word.
There you go.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay.
Adam?
Let's see. Oh, first I have to ask, what kind of character are you playing in D&D?
We've been switching around, but right now I am a rogue. Who has basically no impulse control. So it is...
So a rogue.
So yeah. It's...
A rogue.
Yeah, it is a rogue. Yeah, we'll go with that. Rogue.
Okay. Sweet. All right. Yes. What do I have to plug? Oh, of course, the Court Revelers...
Huzzah.
...are currently auditioning for men and women. We're looking for sopranos, tenors, and bass/baritones. So if you are interested, go to www.courtrevelers.com. And let's see, you can find me on Twitter at @ADAMERDMANN. And you can find out what music I've been listening to on Last.fm. My handle there is @adman7. One of these days I'll probably update it again. Yeah, and I'll also throw out a plug there just because Katie and I kind of got on that topic. Dave, I don't know if you remember from the Norway choir and band tour, our tour guide's joke, what do Finland and Sweden have that Norway doesn't have?
I'm going to say nothing.
Good neighbors.
Nice. Also true.
Okay, and Dan, what do you have for us? And no one can hear you because you're not on a microphone. Yep. So your witty retort
shall be lost.
Lost forever.
Lost to the ages, yes. as man, well as
a
the
lewd gesture.
Yep, yes, as yep, well as yep, the lewd yep, gesture yep. that I've just validated by mentioning, and you have as well. Oh, well.
Nobody knows which one.
Okay.
It's true.
So Friday thereafter, I don't think I have anything going on specific other than I can plug the restaurants I work at.
Oh, no.
Christo's Greek Restaurant in Minneapolis, St. Paul in Minnetonka. In St. Paul, we're in the Union Depot. Minneapolis, we are on Eat Street between 26th and 27th Street. And in Minnetonka, we're on Highway 7 between Williston and Tonkawood.
And just for the record, I was not saying, oh, no, to you plugging the restaurant.
Yes, yes. So horrible a restaurant. Why would you go other than to want Greek food? So
delicious,
check
delicious
that
Greek
out.
Food.
And you can find me on Twitter at Dan L. Whelan, W-H-E-L-A-N. So, Dave, Jake, thank you very much for joining us for episode 113 of the episode of Buffering Podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Glad to be part of it. Very, very fun.
And we will see everyone next week for episode 114.
Hooray!
Woo!
Bye-bye.
Fade out. Oh, go watch At Midnight, because it's back. Yeah.